Welcome to Message from Mom, where we are busting the myth that daughters-in-law don't get along with their mothers-in-law. And I'm joined today by my lovely co-host. To the left of me is Kelly, my daughter-in-law.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm married to Beth's oldest son, Alex, and we've been married for going on 5 years.
And to the right of me is my daughter-in-law, Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I am married to Beth's middle child, Andrew, and we have been married for maybe a little over a month now. So newlyweds.
Things are going well.
Yes, they are.
Well, today we are going to be talking about a very important topic, and that is the importance of alone time in marriage. And I know you ladies have some questions for me, but before that, we're going to toast to families, because you don't have to be blood relatives to love your relatives. So cheers, ladies. And thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Okay. So what do we have for the importance of time alone in marriage?
Well, do you want to start us off,
Kelly? Yeah, I think this is one of my favorite topics that we've talked about so far, actually, because I think alone time is essential in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And but before we talk about my feelings on it, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about your time alone. I know you and Max spent a lot of time apart in mm-hmm. your marriage, so I was mm-hmm. hoping you might elaborate mm-hmm. on that a little bit more for us.
We did. Well, my late husband was in the hospitality industry, and so we moved fairly frequently, even though we had stints of 5 years here and 5 years there. But as typically happens when your spouse has a job promotion, and it usually happens in the middle of a school year. So if you don't want to uproot your children, I mean, those are always topics that you have to think about and discuss, and you know, what's best for the family. But many, many times Mac would have a job offer like in February or March. Mm-hmm. And for sure, we were not going to move the children. We would let them finish their school. Mm-hmm. We would let them finish the school year out. And then also, too, when then they were involved in sports. So I'll never forget one of the moves. And it was probably March, April that Mac moved to Virginia. So we finished off the school year, and then the boys were enrolled in baseball. Mm-hmm. And there's three of them in baseball.
I can't imagine Andrew
one
playing
of me,
baseball.
And it was pretty funny.
He has a reputation for not being very good at it, actually.
He's not very coordinated.
But he was always up for it. He was very social, so he was always up for being on the team. So I don't think it really mattered if he played well or not. But anyway, there's a funny story, because juggling all three of them, and you know, Mag's off here, and I'm by myself, not necessarily alone because I had the three boys, but juggling that was always very, very challenging. But I think today we really want to talk about alone time. So in those instances, it was very challenging to have that alone time. Because then I would have to for sure get a babysitter,
right?
Or leave the boys on their own, or mm-hmm. I mean, at that point they were old enough where AJ could watch them be the babysitter, which is always a fun. We could have like
you never knew what you were coming home to.
Many conversations about situations like that. Yes, but anyway, alone time in a marriage is very important, because I think that's when you can recharge your batteries, and so you need to be alone not only from your husband, but you need to be alone from your children as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that I think that everybody needs to be thoughtful about and carve mm-hmm. time out of their schedules to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think for me, I don't know about you guys, but I consider myself to be an introvert. Mm-hmm. And maybe some people that meet me would think, oh, she's definitely extroverted, and a lot of my jobs that I do and, you mm-hmm. know, require me to be an extrovert.
Yeah.
But I definitely recharge my batteries when I am alone. Even, you know, we don't have kids yet. And mm-hmm. even just with Andrew, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I'm going to go upstairs. I always tell Andrew, I'm going to go upstairs probably about an hour before he goes upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'm going to go upstairs and, you know, get ready for bed. And he always comes up an hour later, and I'm still,
mm-hmm. you're not sleeping.
No, I'm not sleeping.
You're watching Anne with an E.
I'm a, yeah, hand with an E, scrolling on TikTok, whatever I'm doing. It's just not downstairs.
Right. And I think that's good, because that is, that's, so yeah. I think you're an introvert extrovert, and that's exactly what I am, mm-hmm. because I can go out and be very gregarious and very social and do all the things that we need to do with our friends and family when we're out and about. But if I don't have that time alone to recharge my batteries, it's not a pretty sight. Yeah. I get very cranky. I get very irritable. So recharging my batteries is very, very important. So you already know how to do that right now in your marriage, which is good. So Kelly, what are some of the things that you do for alone time?
Yeah. So Alex and I both work from home, which is... Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people experience this during COVID especially, but that all of a sudden you and your spouse or partner are together all the time from morning till night, and you do it all over again every single day. Mm-hmm. So it's actually challenging for Alex and I to carve out time alone. But one good thing is that we do tend to travel separately for things. Like you and I have gone on trips together, alone together. Mm-hmm. So he gets time at home alone. And then he will travel for work sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or he'll, you know, go and spend, you know, a night up with or down with you and Andrew. Or, you know, mm-hmm. he and Andrew will do something in Atlanta or something. So mm-hmm. we do manage to carve out time apart, but it is a lot harder than it ever used to be, I think, mm-hmm. since we moved here and the pandemic happened and mm-hmm. not working apart, you know, it's a challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I do think you have to be purposeful of your time alone too, and especially when you do have children, because it does make it a little bit more challenging. Because one of the things that I used to do, I loved to sew when the boys were little, and I had this really kick-ass sewing room. I mean, mm-hmm. Mac was, he was always so cute, because he was always like, you always have to have the best tools. If you're going to be doing gardening, you have to have the best gardening tools. He was just a big mm-hmm. proponent of that. So I just had the, you know, state-of-the-art sewing machine and a, you know, a cutting table. And I mean, just all the bells and whistles. So I would just remove myself. Like, we're kind of winding down at night, and it's just about, you know, time for the boys, you know, to put mm-hmm. their PJs on, and, you know, you take your bath, put your PJs on, read a book. So we would get them all settled. And then I would just go downstairs to my sewing room and just listen to music. So that was kind of a mm-hmm. built-in time alone at home.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it was also very important too, when the boys were little and Mac was off at work, it was also really important for me mm-hmm. to carve out time that I was away from the boys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would imagine that would be mm-hmm. a priority. Yes,
it was. It really, really was. So, yeah, I mean, you always have, like, mm-hmm. when they enroll in preschool, so you always have that. But I was always very mindful of finding babysitters, especially during the summertime.
Yeah.
When we were
together,
you know, 24/7, we're, you know, together all the time. So that was very important for me, because there again, I just had to recharge my batteries.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when I was a kid, I always knew when my mom was having her alone time, and I just knew not to bother her. Mm-hmm. Did you ever make that very clear?
Oh.
To the boys, like, mom is going to her sewing room, don't come in here? Or would they come in and bother you while you were?
They would come in and bother me. They would just come in and bother me. I mean, my mom always used to get the biggest kick out of the boys, but she was always, I think I've shared this before too, she was always like, I don't understand how you do this. But that was one of the things that she really noticed, is like, when I really did extricate myself from the mm-hmm. from the boys, they would, you know, one by one, they would be coming and following me. And she's like, they can't be, you know, your door is closed, they shouldn't be opening that door. And I'm like, well, mom, we're working on this. This is a work in progress. And I don't think we ever really got there.
Yeah.
Because she also didn't understand the dynamics of three boys, because there's just so much energy with them.
That's a lot.
There's just a lot of energy. Yes. Yeah. Whereas girls, we're much more willing to understand or be sensitive to our moms or to the needs of others.
Yeah.
And or we actually like to have our alone time as young girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember just going to my room and reading, or listen to music. You know, those are the days where we had the 78s and I had a little 78 mm-hmm. player. I would go back and do that. And I just never really noticed the boys ever doing that. It was just always constant motion, and they were out, you know, playing or engaged in something. So there wasn't their alone time like that. So maybe they have that now, which is good.
Yeah.
Because as adults, you have to learn how to incorporate that into your life. But yes, but as young boys, no.
No.
They're always following me. Yes, even in the bathroom and
I always think even now I definitely enjoy my alone time more than Andrew enjoys his alone time, and he would say otherwise. Mm-hmm. He would be like, I enjoy my alone time. But there are times where I'll go upstairs or I'll go and he's like, where are you going? Or he'll come and follow me upstairs 5 seconds later. And I'm like, what are you doing here? He would not admit to that, but if someone were to videotape our lives, I would be correct on this.
I think Alex is really good at spending time on his own. Like he plays guitar. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. He does that on his own, and mm-hmm. that's not a couple's activity.
Right. So, that's an individual.
Yeah. And I actually, in the spring and summer and fall, being outside in the yard is how I manage to mm-hmm. get alone time at home when we're both mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that, but also cleaning mm-hmm. is the other thing that I do that actually is my alone time. It sounds so dumb, I know, but I just go and close the bathroom door and clean the bathroom, and you get a little time alone then too.
Right.
And,
it's very therapeutic.
It is for me, mm-hmm. cleaning for me is it clears my head, and I can really mm-hmm. kind of focus on something and not get caught up in things. So I really do. I really
like a mindless task that you can mm-hmm. do, which is nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always good to have mm-hmm. those. I enjoy going, I'll go and take a Pure Barre class mm-hmm. and I'll take Asher, our English bulldog on a walk mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. around our neighborhood.
Yeah.
I kind of do things mm-hmm. like that, or I'll go and, mm-hmm. Get my nails done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's an excellent one. Mm-hmm. One that, as a young mom, I didn't incorporate that regularly. It would be like once a month. But then as the boys got older and, Mac climbed the corporate ladder, we had a little bit extra money. Then mm-hmm. that really became mm-hmm. me time. And it still is to this day. I really enjoy going off to a mani-pedi. Because it really is. It's just downtime.
Yeah.
And I am not connected to anything or anyone. I'm just really enjoying just that time. So, yes. So it's good to have those built-in ones. And walking the dog.
Mm-hmm. That's another good one. Mm-hmm.
So, that's a great one. I have been walking. I've had a dog in my life my entire life. And I can just remember as a teen walking our Irish setter at night, and just how, and really understanding at that point how mm-hmm. calming and how relaxing that was. And so
it's so calming.
I feel like
if I'm having a bad day, mm-hmm. and obviously if it's a nice day outside, going to take Asher for a walk mm-hmm. is very calming, because mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. getting some exercise, fresh air,
exercise, and I love animals and dogs, but the great thing is that they don't talk. So it's a silent walk.
Yeah. And even though, Alex and I don't have kids, but I will say that our three dogs are pretty glued to my hip. Mm-hmm. I actually need time alone from them, mm-hmm. to be honest, because they just never leave me alone. Like I sit on the couch, they're on my lap, they're right mm-hmm. next to me. And, I'm in my office working, and they're, one of them is always trying to sit on my lap while I'm working, but the other two are, but they're always there. And I do find though that spending time in the yard is nice, because I can be outside with them, but they're off doing their sniffing and whatever, and I'm mm-hmm. doing my thing. And so it is true alone time mm-hmm. that I get to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I do have a question. Do you think that it is important for you and your significant other to have the same friend group, to have different friend groups, to have both? How did you mm-hmm. deal with that with Mac? Did you find that you had similar friend groups, or?
You need to have both, because you really do need couple friends. Although I think the couple friends are the most challenging to find, because
it's so hard to find.
It really can be very, very challenging.
Along mm-hmm. and...
Exactly. And that's where I think sports like golf come into play, because mm-hmm. you can just be on a scramble, and so you get paired, so you're out socially with other couples, but you're not necessarily out to dinner with that couple. So mm-hmm. I think in environments like that make it a little bit easier to start developing couple friends. So that's one thing. And my mom was always really big on that. She was not a very good golfer, but she was good enough so she could mm-hmm. do that, because my dad was a big golfer.
Yeah.
And that was very important to her. So I do see where that something like that really comes into play. But couple friends are important because you really do. You need to go out and enjoy.
Well, and I consider, like, I don't know about you guys, but I consider, like, going out with my friends, like, to be a form of alone time, even though I'm not necessarily by myself.
Right. Yes.
But I consider that to be, you know, I'm going to go hang out with my group of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. You go hang out with your guy friends.
Mm-hmm. And that's important too.
Yeah.
So that, you know, going back to friends. So I think you need couple friends, but you also need your individual friends too, mm-hmm. because you need to have that very special person or several people in your life that you can go off and do things with.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. And so they will, like, I'm just looking back at my life as a married person. And so those women always knew Mac and always appreciated him, mm-hmm. but they weren't necessarily in his life other than he knew that they were my friends.
You, yeah, mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So,
but you really do need both. And church is always, that was also another place to find couple friends too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in church and you're like at their, Bible study before, I mean, they would always have mm-hmm. like the sermon or the, I'm becoming such a dweeb here. Why am I? Help me out, ladies. What am I talking about?
Going like to church,
so you have the small group time before you know you go off to the sermon. Because all I could, I grew up Catholic, so
I did not grow up.
So that was Mass. Yeah. So that was, but then we became Protestant. So then we were in a Protestant church. So it's called something else. So everybody can leave it in the comments of what it's called. Yes,
what it's called.
But yeah, my Catholicism is really kicking in because it's like Mass. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Bible study time. But anyway, that's also another great opportunity to meet people is through that. And then people your own age. Mm-hmm. It may have changed because, I mean, I do know church attendance is way down from when I was married and actually from when I was growing up. So those dynamics perhaps have changed, but it is. That's probably the most challenging thing. And I do know, too, because we did move a lot. And so we lived in new subdevelopments and older ones. So a newer suburb is always a great place to meet people your age. Young mm-hmm. families and all of that. So mm-hmm. that was, and I just remember when we moved to Texas and we lived in Green Trails. And so that was, there were just so many people our age. So that was an easy way to meet people.
Definitely.
Yeah. We Alex and I did a bowling league when we lived in California, and that was like the golf thing. Cause you're mm-hmm. spending time being social with people and you already have something in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the game, you mm-hmm. know, so whether it's golf or bowling or pickleball, whatever it is. So I actually really like that. I think that's a smart way, especially like I said, we both work from home. So it's really challenging to meet new mm-hmm. people when you move to a place and you don't have mm-hmm. a job outside of your house.
Right.
You know, it's really tough. So
no.
Well, it's challenging to meet people as you get older, because I feel like people mm-hmm. have their friend groups, and especially, you know, you guys coming here from completely different states and, mm-hmm. you know, it mm-hmm. makes it definitely harder to meet people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It does.
So that also does, I mean, for us anyway, that does put a bit of a damper on carving out alone time. Like you said, you go out with your girlfriends and things like that. All of my very good friends live in other places, so we have phone dates and things like that, which is great. But as far as like just stopping by someone's house, you know, and hanging out or whatever, mm-hmm. That doesn't really happen all that much.
Well, I find even, I mean, I grew up here in Georgia, and even some of my friends that I have that I'm good friends with, we live in different parts of town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And if, you know, you're not familiar with Atlanta, I mean, it can take you between 30 to 45 minutes to get from your part of town to theirs. Mm-hmm. And even though 30 or 45 minutes isn't, you know, it's not a big drive, but if you're trying to plan up to meet, you know, if any sort of drinks are involved, and then you're like, okay, well,
right.
Do I Uber? Or am I, you know, how am I going to get there? I got to get home.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a huge process to plan.
Yeah.
And then inevitably, you know, the day comes and everyone's tired. You've worked all day. And,
I know, right?
And you're like, sometimes should we even do this?
I know.
The effort.
It won't get any better, because I can remember many times it can be a big effort to go to your bunco group or your book club, or mm-hmm. those are some of the things that I did as a young mom to get out of the house and, mm-hmm. and to have mm-hmm. my time. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But you really do have to make that effort.
Yeah, it's important to make the effort.
You have to.
And I also think like, you know, like we were talking about, drawing this back to having your own group of girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
I find that I don't like to be the person that cancels all the time,
right.
You know, because I have friends that have done that where it's like mm-hmm. they'll cancel very last minute and they do it all the time. And then I feel like then you just stop inviting them.
Right.
Right.
Because you're like, okay, well, they're flaky and I don't want to be that flaky person. I'm not trying to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the importance of alone time in a marriage?
Any other? I mean, I think one of the things that is important to, especially for young mothers, is that time away from their children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do think that that was one of the things, and I had the some
challenge.
Very sage advice. My Nana was a nurse at a pediatrician's office. So she gave me very, very sage and sound advice from the get-go. And one of them was, Beth, you have to understand that your children actually have to learn to separate from you.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, you're going to be setting them up for separation anxiety their whole life. And I'm not even sure if she even understood all of the ramifications way back then.
Right.
Of, I mean, because we've really come a long way with our biology and how we're, you know, how our brains are wired and things like that. But she was very adamant. She's like, and I had a really great OBGYN, my very first one, that also impressed that on me. So that was really in my mindset, was that, okay, I have got to train my children and, you know, mm-hmm. and train myself that mm-hmm. we have to have different outings. So whether it's going to preschool or getting the babysitter, but you have to be able to help them say goodbye
mm-hmm.
and that you will be back.
Yeah.
And that life,
that's a challenge.
Life will be okay for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I vaguely remember this, but I remember my mom telling stories. I was at this preschool that I think I was maybe like 3 or 4, and every time we'd go to this preschool, I would just cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would scream. I did not want to go. And and I think eventually my mom just ended up switching me to a new preschool. So maybe it was on the preschool rather than me having separation from her.
Right.
But and my mom would feel so bad. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I have to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, because she worked and she was a single mom at the time. She's like, I feel bad leaving you here. And
she
said that she would literally get in her car and she would cry all the way to work because she felt so bad.
I know.
Because
you hate.
I do think that's a big thing. And
yeah.
It is.
But she kept doing it and she kept it going and she still made me go to preschool. And I do think now it's very common for moms to be like, nope, we're going to go home.
They are, which is, it's very, very interesting. And I have a friend that is in education in Texas, and she actually, she's the person that children, if there's like a learning disability or autism, or they come mm-hmm. to her and she does evaluations. But my generation was called the helicopter parent mm-hmm. because we were always so involved in our children's lives and mm-hmm. making the play dates and making sure that they went to this camp or we were doing this activity, or and we were very, very involved. But my friend Lori has said that they're now called lawnmower parents because they're that much closer to their child's life. And I do see this, like, on if I'm over on TikTok or Instagram and I'll see these young moms, it's just like, no, I can't trust the educators there. I can't trust the school. I'm, you know, I can't. Yeah. And so there's a whole nother mindset out there that's much different than mine. And I'm actually very glad that I had that advice years ago from my Nana and my OBGYN. And also too, and I do remember with the boys, I mean, as I said, you know, they're boys and they're always like, oh, and you know, and like, where's my hole? But I was very mindful. I didn't want to be that helicopter parent. I really wanted them to be bored.
Yeah. Figure out how to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it wasn't always me. It's like, well, we're bored. We need something to do. Well, guess what?
Go figure it out.
You get to go figure that out because I'm, you know, I'm going to go to my sewing room or, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's so funny. Mm-hmm. When we're young, we're like, we're bored. We're bored. Uh-huh. I would love to be bored right now.
I know. I know, right?
I would literally welcome boredom in my life.
Yeah. I know. I know. I'm with you. Oh, too. And I can remember, too, the boys always fighting about going to bed. And I used to look at them. I mean, I'll still say this to this day. It's like, I would love for somebody to give me a bath and put my PJs on and read a book to me and kiss me goodnight. I would love that.
Yeah.
Why are you fighting?
Yeah.
Against a very, very, you know, beautiful little ritual that we do every night, but every night it was the same thing. Yeah. Oh no, we're not, you know.
Oh no, as a kid,
right?
Yeah. You're missing out on something that's not happening.
It's totally true. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. So, oh. but yes, yeah, so I do think the alone time from your spouse is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I do, because I think you're much better people when you're off doing different things and then you come back and then you mm-hmm. you take those experiences and then bring that back into 100%. Your marriage. Yeah. But you also need that alone time from your children as well. It's very, very important. And yes, and as I said, they have to learn that you're saying goodbye. I look at some of these young moms and I'm like, what is wrong with you? I was always like, bye.
See you later.
I have 2 hours. You know, what can I do in two hours? Not a whole lot, but it'd be at least.
Yeah.
It was something.
Uh-huh. It was. It was really, really fun. So, and I always also loved it when Mac would take trips mm-hmm. because that was a time where, not necessarily alone time, but for the boys and I mean, I would like macaroni and cheese. I mean, we would eat.
Oh, I love Landon and Drew Goff.
Yeah. Because it was just like, and I love to wave goodbye to Mac. You know, I'll see you, on Friday. And yes, so I would have all the easy meals and all the favorites for the boys that weren't necessarily nutritious or whatever, but a lot of fun eat. So
a fun time mm-hmm. with your
I
really like to when Alex goes out of town, I really like to really clean the house mm-hmm. and then just enjoy everything in its place uh-huh. the whole time that he's
that cracks me up because I can totally see you doing that.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm the opposite. The house becomes a disaster mm-hmm. and then like the day before Andrew gets home, I'm like, oh crap. I'm like, all right, let me clean it up. I'm like the exact, I'm like, let me binge Netflix. What show can I watch that he doesn't like?
Yeah. I know.
I definitely do that, but I kick my feet up on the couch or, you know, on the coffee table and
look
around and I think, well, the house looks really good and it's going to be good for another week or 3 days or whatever.
That's right. Yes. So, binge watching TV. And because that became a big deal when we lived in Vietnam and we had access to all of those DVDs that perhaps weren't the authentic ones, but like, we had access to them. But that was great because we didn't have access to TV
mm-hmm.
or to the TV shows. So these DVDs, that was my first introduction of binge watching. It was because it was like I could have 6 seasons of The Sopranos or whatever it was.
Oh yeah,
and then
you don't have to wait until the next week for it to come out.
It was like this was like
Desperate Housewives. I remember when that show came out, and it was like you had to watch.
It's
like you'd watch one episode.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, next.
I know.
Okay, when it comes out.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But anyway. Else, ladies? Have we covered alone time in a marriage? And
I think we have made our points that it is very important.
Alone time and with your family and things like that. And so I think we have definitely come to the conclusion that alone time makes a better person.
100% for sure.
Okay. All right, ladies.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. This concludes the episode of The Importance of Alone Time in Marriage. And I think we are, again, busting the myth that mothers-in-law are not necessarily monsters-in-law. So thanks, ladies.